morning. How are we doing? Good to see you today. This week is, as you know, the week of Thanksgiving. And so I thought we'll put a pause on the Mercy series for a week. And I thought today we would just think through together. What do we have to be thankful for? So these past few years have been extremely challenging, probably for all of us, right? COVID has like changed the way we experience life. And in the midst of that, we as believers, right, we can be thankful if we choose to be. Do you know what I like about Thanksgiving? It's probably one of the least commercialized of the national holidays, right? Like stores don't make as much bank on Thanksgiving as they do Halloween and Christmas and Easter, right? And so we don't suffer from Thanksgiving overkill. Like, we're not expected to buy Thanksgiving candy, right? Unless you're at my house, we buy Christmas candy to have at Thanksgiving, right? But other than that, we're not expected to do that. We're not expected to pass out, like, Thanksgiving gifts. And so there's not really a point in which advertisers can exploit that. And so they did this. They created this thing called Black Friday, right? You know how it goes, right? So the day after Thanksgiving, and at least pre-COVID, the night of Thanksgiving, right? It's the busiest time of the year for retailers, and it gets busy for us from Thanksgiving all the way for the next 4 or 5 weeks, right? There'll be parties to attend and shopping to finish up and gifts to wrap and cookies to bake and school activities to go to, and the list just goes on and on and on. And for most of us, the next few weeks will be a hectic time of year. So before the insanity begins, we can look forward to like Thanksgiving Day, right? Like Thanksgiving Day, I don't know about your house, but at my house, right? Kids and grandkids come over. We eat and watch football. That's what we do, right? And we go on a walk, right? Because my wife will say at some point during the day, right, we need to get up and go on a walk, right? Thanksgiving Day is a day when people will think about, they'll talk about, they'll share with their families what they're thankful for. And for believers, it's usually a time to lock in, to drill down on the blessings of God in your life. And so Sir John Templeton, a billionaire investor, was once asked what the secret of wealth was. He said this: gratitude. If you're not grateful, you're not rich, no matter how much you have. And the flip side is also true, right? If you're grateful, you're rich, no matter how little you have. And our problem is that we tend to rate our lives on a scale of comparison with other people. And we compare our lives with those who appear to have more, fuller, and more exciting lives than ours. And so we feel what? Like shortchanged. And we wonder why others have it so much better than we do. And of course they don't, right? It's just wrong thinking. See, having a thankful heart is about recognizing and acknowledging what God has done in your life and not comparing that to anybody else. So today we're going to take a look at a psalm of thanksgiving, specifically Psalm 16. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to Psalm 16. In these few verses, David reminds us of some of the things that we can be thankful for. And so if we can lock in on those today, it will help us develop a thankful heart. And so let's read together Psalm 16, and then I want you to consider this morning just three things that we can do, okay? Psalms 16 says this, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. And as for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. And the sorrows of those who run after shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup, and you hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. And I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand, and he shall not be shaken, or I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. And you make known to me the path of life. And in your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Right, three things that we can do to be thankful. Go ahead and take your note sheets out. You can follow along with me this morning. The first one is this, is to acknowledge that God is the source of all good things in your life. David says this in verse 2, right? He says, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." Right? It seems like David is writing this psalm from a time of trouble because he asked for preservation. And yet the tone of the psalm, right, is not despair. It's not complain. It is a kind of this settled joy, right? Despite his trouble, David has this confidence in God. And David says, "You are my Lord." Right, it's coming from the depths of his soul. And David happily says that Yahweh is his master. And then he goes on to say that he has no good apart from God, right? David knew that at his very best, all of his goodness was nothing apart from God. Right, it was nothing when it came to making David righteous before God. He needed God to bring righteousness to David. It was nothing because David's goodness was in itself a gift of God. Therefore, apart from him, he was nothing. It was nothing because David's goodness, as precious as it was of small value without his relationship with God. And then over in James chapter 1, verse 17, it'll be on the screen for you. "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Right? Because of our own fallen nature and the fallen state of the things of this world and what the world entices us with, we really can't expect true goodness from us or goodness from the things of this world. But every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father. God's goodness is constant. There's no variation in him. Instead of shadows, God is the Father of lights, and all good things we have in life, you and I can thank God for. Not just the spiritual blessings, but rather every good thing in our lives is a gift from God. Last Sunday after church, we drove over to Mukilteo over on the west side of the state. And we spent some time with some lifelong friends that we grew up with in youth group in high school, and Trudy even before that knew these people. And so we gathered together in Lynn and Scott's house, and it was good. And of course, we're there, and Lynn says this: "We're going to get in a circle, right? You know what's coming, right? We're still like 2.5 weeks out of Thanksgiving, but we're going to get in a circle, and we're going to tell one thing that we are thankful for, right? All right, Lynn, it's your house. We'll do it, right? So we get in a circle, right? And I'm thinking to myself, man, like, I haven't seen these people in a long time. We've known these people for a long, 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 long time. I'm thinking, and I'm, you know, a pastor. I got to come up with something good, right? Right? Like, I got to come up with something deep, meaningful. And so we go around the room, and I quickly realized how hard it is for all of us, right, to come up with something deep and meaningful. And then I was preparing for the message this week, and I realized that in all reality, we should be thankful for everything that we have in life, right? Like, even the things that we take for granted, like the bed we sleep in, and the fact that we have electricity and running water and food to cook and toothpaste and shampoo and shower and indoor plumbing, for goodness sake. Right? You get the idea. All these things that make our lives better, and we can be thankful for them. They're God's good gifts to us. And when you think about it, as you go through your day, there are probably like thousands of things that you come across that you could be thankful for. You could be thankful for good music, right? Or reading a great book, or a restaurant that you enjoy to eat at, right? A park that you love to visit with the kids or grandkids. And I haven't even got to the big stuff yet, such as your relationship with God, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, your parents, your friends, your job, right? The list goes on and on. All of those things are a gift from God. Let us not forget that or take that for granted. My point is that we should focus not on what we don't have or who has it better than we do. Our focus must be on all the good things that we do have in our lives, because every good thing is a gift from God. And David is saying, without God, all these things are meaningless, right? He is acknowledging God as the source of all good things in our lives. Well, what a great lesson to learn. I don't know about you, but I need to learn that lesson probably more often, right? I need to take time out of my day just to thank God for what he's done for us. All right, secondly, we need to recognize the pleasant places in your life. Verses 5 and 6, Psalm 16, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You may hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." And so David, here's the youngest of this family that has many sons, and I don't know if he was probably not expecting to get much an inheritance from his family, yet he took joy and he took comfort in the fact that God was his portion of his inheritance. Right? He knew that he had a good inheritance. The lines that were marked out in his inheritance had fallen to him in what? Pleasant places. And it's interesting to me that David said that, because if he wanted to, David could be like an all-time great complainer, couldn't he? Right? Like, he could be on the Dr. Phil show in a heartbeat, telling everybody how horrible his life was, right? Like, I'm the youngest kid in my family, and my older brothers didn't like me, and when I was a teenager, I was forced into this battle, and this vicious dude was out there, and I had to go out there and pick up my own stones off the battlefield, and no one's helping me out, right? I probably shouldn't even have to fight that battle, but I did, and the government let me down, and they should have protected me, and then the king tried to kill me, and so I spent years running from that one. My best friend was taken away from me, and then this woman seduced me and enticed me to commit murder, which is not what happened, by the way. But if it's David complaining, that's probably his take on it, right? David ends by saying, eventually my own son rebels against me, right? Tears my family apart, like, woe is me. All of those things did happen to David. But you know what? Many other things happened as well. Good things. Pleasant things. And those are the things that David is focusing on here in Psalm 16. You know, all of our lives can be a tale of tragedy or victory. Right? It depends on which story you want to tell. Right? Where your focus is. And just like David, we've been assigned our portion and our cup. And then there are many things in our lives that we didn't get to choose, right? You didn't get to choose your parents or where you're born or your family ties, right? Or your looks or talent or intellectual capacity, right? Those things were assigned to us. I don't know the details of your life, but I do know this. There are areas in your life in which the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. And my encouragement to you this morning is to recognize them and to thank God for them. Like we've all probably have had friends, right? Or we've known somebody who grew up in a bad situation. Sociologists would say they have a disadvantaged childhood, right? But what if you didn't look at it that way? What if you looked at it with gratitude? And maybe you saw it as an opportunity to be taught the value of hard work and discipline and character. Right? There are a lot of kids who grew up in way better situations who never learn those things. So you can look at all the things you don't have, all the disadvantages that have been thrown at you, and it only leads you down a road of misery, right? Instead, what if we looked at the areas of life where the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places and just be thankful to God who has given them to us? And so we acknowledge the good gifts that God has given. Recognize the pleasant places in our lives. All right, thirdly this morning, to develop and maintain a thankful heart, we should look ahead to better days. Right, verse 6, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places indeed. And here's what I want you to see today. In this point, I have a beautiful inheritance. What is he saying? He's saying what the future holds for me is even better than what I have right now. And in the Psalms, whenever David talks about the future, he always speaks about it with optimism, right? Like in Psalms 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so David's confidence in his future inheritance, guaranteed by God's unshakable goodness, right? It brings him comfort in his life, and he looks ahead to better days. Psalms 48:12 through 14, walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever, and he will guide us forever. Right? With God guiding us forever, the days ahead are going to be better for sure. Psalms 85:12, yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. And then in today's text in verse 6, I have a beautiful inheritance. And then drop down to verse 11 this morning. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Right? The path of life is something to be enjoyed by the believer both now and in eternity. God gives us eternal life to enjoy as a present gift and extending into eternity. And what a joy David could experience now, but also ultimately receive in the more intimate, immediate presence of God. David had full confidence that his life with God both now and forevermore would be marked by the highest and the best pleasures. And David is putting it simply that the best is yet to come. And when we live with a thankful heart, it is easy to buy into that. Right? When your mindset Is that why do like does the bad stuff always happen to me and everybody else has it better than I? It's difficult to be optimistic about the future. But when you recognize that God has blessed you more than what you deserve, it's easy to believe that better days lie ahead. I've noticed that people who don't look forward to the future also don't enjoy the present and they don't appreciate the past. And having a thankful heart changes all of that. Having a thankful heart enables you to see God's presence in your life, past, present, and future. Have you ever known someone who would actually verbalize that it's hard for them to be thankful because their life has turned out the way it has? My bet is, though, that if you looked hard enough, you would see some blessings in their life as well. And then there's people on the flip side. This Thursday, you might get together with your family. You might have health problems. You might have financial problems. You might have relational problems. And I know for a lot of those people, on Thanksgiving, their prayer is simply going to be, thank you, God, for everything. So as you spend time this Thursday surrounded by family and friends, would you take a moment to say to God, thank you for everything, no matter what your situation might be. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. God, thank you for your amazing power and the work that you do in our lives. But thank you for your goodness, for your blessings that you give to us. God, thank you for your great love and care. And God, thank you for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus, so that we might have freedom and life. God, would you forgive us when we don't thank you enough? We don't thank you enough for who you are, for all that you do, and what you've given to us. So God, help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you in a new and a fresh way this Thanksgiving. Renew our spirits. Fill us with peace and joy, God. We love you. We need you. Not only today, but every day. So we give you praise and we give you thanks, for God, you alone are worthy. It's in Jesus' name that I